Blog Talk Radio.
Take the lemon off.
Grind, grind. Get what you want to be, you know that you better grind.
Take the lemon off.
Grindology.
Grindology. I love it. Oh, look at this. Hey, everybody.
Granology.
He is such a producer right now. Why are you in
producer
mode right now?
Granology. Granology.
Don't be quiet. I'ma shut up. Professional. I am your host, Lissette Herton. I am in a very happy mood today. It's Thursday. I think what it is, because, you know, Dr. Dana, he's being a super producer today of the world. You saying that I'm, you know, talking through the music and let the music play. But I say that the reason why is because I had one of them, those snowballs on 33rd. The big one with the pineapple, coconut, and the syrup got me on 10. I'm tripping right now. I was sipping on some scissor just a few minutes ago with the snowball. I haven't had a snowball in a minute. You know, you can only come. I stayed, you know, out in Egypt, according to Dr. Dana. So basically, guys, you can only come into the city and see snowball stands. There are no snowball stands where I reside. So I came and I was headed on my way to Culver's to get me one of those concrete. And then, you know, like, I pulled over on the side and I seen, you know, someone, you know, one of the guys out there with a candy store. And I was like, let me support my black business. So instead of spending my money at Culver's on a concrete ice cream, I went and got a big pineapple coconut snowball, and now I'm on 10, guys. So if I might be a little excited.
Pineapple and coconut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pineapple and coconut. Okay. Do you have snowballs? Do you eat snowballs?
Absolutely.
So, which one is your favorite flavor?
Red. Blue. And green.
Leave it up to black folks. When you ask what flavor of snowball you want, you say red, blue,
red,
or green.
Give me some of that red. Some sky blue.
Sky blue.
Sky blue.
Not the great.
Right.
Not the dark blue.
Right. Sky blue.
Oh, God.
And green, and not green apple.
Oh, my God.
The lime.
Oh, the lime, because I either do green apple or coconut. Guys, it's only, you know, only in Chicago do we patronize our candy store. stores. They just makeshift candy stores on the corners in front of their houses and stuff like that. I was like, is that me? Hey, okay. No, you keep that plan then.
Nope.
You keep that plan. How he gonna get started, Tanya? Tanya, how he gonna get started?
The lyrics is a little extra. We can't. You know, I mean, you know, it's your show, but you can. You know.
Yeah, I was sipping on that scissor. That I don't. It's straight syrup, guys. I just don't know what it is. Only on my show, right?
Hey.
That's only on my show.
Non-Christian.
But I'm telling you. I'm a little tweaking right now for the syrup, but only in Chicago, guys, can we support our candy store visitors. So shout out to all my snowball vendors out there, the black-owned businesses who've been black-owned before anybody's been black-owned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before there was a black-owned what we call it now, revolution. Now, right now, we had those. Corner candy stores. They don't even have the cookies. Like he bought you know, the bulk of the grandma cookies and stuff. I'm like, that's not a real candy store. A real candy store got the small cookies with the strawberry icing, the
penny
lemon.
Cookies.
Huh?
Penny cookies.
Penny cookies. Oh my God. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you, y'all got the. They got to go to the. Is the candy warehouse still open, guys? Is the candy? Is that the one right there, right off the expressway?
Yeah, but that's hot.
Really, even the candy.
Not the cookies, though.
Yeah, I don't think you can get those.
No, she
cookies.
Said that the place that made the penny cookies closed. They closed. They.
Really? Man, let me tell you something. When I was a little girl,
that was 25th. They made those cookies there. Oh yeah, they closed right off of 25th Avenue.
Man, that's messed up. Cause they was like, they are Chicago, the penny cookies, the ones they had chocolate chip,
strawberry.
They had lemon, they had, of course, they had strawberry, and they was a penny. And man, I'm talking about right, I was double fisted with penny candy back in the day. That's when penny, we get old. That's when penny candies was actually a penny. You can go and spend a dollar and get so much candy, it's ridiculous. And I used to stay with my uncle right by Percy Julian. I used to go to Hale Washington. And every day after school, guys, I would walk to this penny candy lady. It was a store. It was an actual store. And her name was Ring. Ring. And I would get, I'm talking about, if I would have got $3, my mom gave me $3, that's terrible. I'd spend that whole $3.
But we was just talking about this back in the day when you know, if you had a dollar, you came back with like two bags of candy.
Yes.
Like you, $3, oh, you was good
you
for
was,
the week.
You really learned how to make life decisions.
You was good though with them $3. You didn't need like. You didn't need nothing.
Nothing.
I mean,
I think I had a week worth of candy.
You, man, look here. You bought for people. Like, man, what
yeah,
you need? What you
right.
need? I got you. Like, you was at the bar. Come on to the bar, man.
Yeah.
Order you a drink. I got
yeah.
you.
I got
you right
you.
Here. Get you
I bar. Swear. That's how it used to be. We used to, man, spend that $3. Man.
So this L&P place, I just looked it up. They do have the cookies? I just looked it up.
They had a cookie.
That's what it say on their Facebook page. I'm trying to find their
real
website.
Man, I'm telling you.
Is
everybody's
really?
Still doing the they still doing the
But I'm just saying if you can't find the penny cookies nowhere else, you know.
Yeah, that's where they at. They right there.
Man,
and they still try to do the pickles, guys, but let me tell you something. It ain't the same no more. Like the pickles used to be humongous. Like dumb, and you used to put the peppermint right in the middle. You wanted the peppermint.
That was a
pickle?
Girl thing. Dudes didn't
oh
really eat pickles.
Oh my God!
Like, we looked at you funny if you was a dude eating the pickle.
Like that with the peppermint.
And you gonna put a peppermint in it? We really looked at you funny then. Like or
You said, oh no, can't nobody be eating up
yeah,
pickles
looked,
with peppermint.
We looked at you a little strange if you was yeah, bruh. Why you
eating on that?
Are you on that pickle like that, bro?
That's why men can't even drink out straws. Why can't a man drink out of a
straw? Why you all on that peppermint like that, bro?
And it was the huge ones. And you stuffed that thing down in there like that.
See?
It was all wrong.
Good.
Y'all did. Yeah, you bullied kids, Tremaine and all.
We get you straight real quick. If you had any thoughts. Boys don't eat pickles. Put that down. Better go in and get you one of them Vlasics, them sandwich pickles.
I can't. You better cut it up.
Vlasic, right. Go in and get you one of the pickles out the jar. That's been in the refrigerator for like 6 months. Go in and get you one of them.
It ain't even green no more. It's
yellow. It done turned. Right. Come outside with a whole, you got a whole pickle.
Guys, we are in a whole nother different zone right now. But I'm telling you, candy stores are not the same. It's just food is not the same, guys. Like, I remember when milk used to be like, man, if you had Dean's milk, it had this organic taste that, like, it's just, food just doesn't taste the same no more. It just really doesn't. And it's like, now we look at the candy stores and I'm like, all right. But hey, everybody out there, shout out y'all candy stores. Where the good candy at? Oh my God, Long John's, Coconut Boys.
Never liked them.
You never did? Mm-mm. Oh my God.
I got some in the car. Boston Baked Beans.
God.
Alexander the Grapes.
Ooh.
Lemon Heads.
All those. Like, yeah. That's real. You know, those was the boys that you had crushes on. They would eat the lemon heads and stuff like that. That's the ones I'll be sitting there like, look at him eating on lemon heads. Can I come your lemon heads?
And the Pal bubble gum. You only get like 5 chews out of for you have to spit it out.
It was all over. You had to eat like 5 of them.
Right.
For it
right.
to even take any flavor. And then turn around. I used to remember the gums. Remember the Big Blow?
Mm-hmm.
When they actually had the gums made like the fruit. So it was like, if it was a lime, it was a lime one. If it was a watermelon one, it was shaped like a watermelon.
Okay.
If it was a,
okay.
Those
yeah,
were the
yeah,
ones
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. You know what, guys? I'm just saying, candy is not candy anymore. But shout out to our corner store vendors out there. The candy store vendors out there, we see you, and you know, we're gonna continue to support our very first foundational black owned businesses, the candy stores out here in our community that keep us souped up on syrup like I am right now.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
But guys, today is an awesome Thursday. Guess why? Because I get to spend time with you. I get to engage. We get to talk about things professional and things that are like non-professional, but you know, that just adds the flavor to the show. But I do have to give a shout out to my TTLO family. We do big things every week. Mondays, we have Missional Mondays with our Reverend Dr. Dana King, kicks off our week with Missional Mondays, giving us the real good of what's going on in terms of God's world and what's going on in the lives of our Christians. And sometimes you get a little radical too. So he'll bring a little, you know, spice. So he gives you the today's news as well as what God says. That's how we do it. And then of course on Tuesdays, right, we have our girl, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. I love you, Dr. Thomas, out there, Healthy Soul Talk. She's still on her COVID hiatus. So you stay straight. You stay safe out there, but she's still doing the work. I'm going to have to talk to you. I'm going to have to get some sessions in with you, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. I'm going to reach out to you. And then, of course, on Thursdays, you got your girl, of course, Lissette Hernton. We just get these businesses right. Let's talk about everything that's going on professional and everything that we could just possibly talk about And then, of course, tomorrow, which is on Fridays, we close out the week with Praise Break Fridays, of course, with Dr. Dana King. He closes out the week. We appreciate God allowing us to live and breathe and survive another week. And we, you know, we give him praise and we break off into the weekend and we start this thing all over again. Why? Because we TTLO. We take the limits off. That's how we do it. But guys, I'm telling you, today we have a really, really good topic. But before we even start talking about the topic, I really want to give a shout out to Prophetess LaJuan Smith, who she was my guest last week. We were talking about just processes and systems. And I'm telling you guys, she truly blessed me, and I hope she truly blessed you guys. I'm telling you, she gave it to us raw, real, and in order. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I walked away wanting to get my systems in order and my mind from the inside on the out in check. So, and she's doing a class today, Prophetess LaJuan Smith. She's doing her class, Unclog the Pipes book. I'm telling you guys, if you never read her book, you don't have the book, I'm telling you guys, I'm going to have to just hit me up. I'm going to get you this book, because you have to read it. And on top of that, you have to take her class. She has her first class starting today at 7. And if I wasn't doing my show, I would be right there right now in the class taking it. Because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, guys, like, I'll walk away from that class with a newfound, like, just identity and understanding about myself. Real. Like the kids say, no cap. But I'm telling you guys, today we have a really, really great topic. I feel like we need to go out of talking about systems and go into talking about ways to make profit with a purpose. How do we profit with a purpose? See, guys, I'm telling you, the way that the world is evolving, the way that businesses are evolving, the way that everything is flowing now as it relates to nonprofit and for-profit entities is, are we doing it for a purpose? When I support and when I give my money and support a particular business, is this business taking the time to support our communities? Is this business doing what is necessary to show that our communities are being, nurtured? Are we growing? Do we have an impact? Are we doing the things that we need to do? And I'm telling you guys, this is where we are. So we're talking about today ways to profit with purpose. So guys, we're going to take a quick break. My husband then brought in his sausages. You got to come over here, babe, because see, he in his full garb now, guys. He in his launch pad, babe. You got to come over here. You know what, stay right there, because he's the most right now, guys, I'm telling you. But we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about profit with a purpose. And I'm going to get the opportunity to bring this gentleman in for a Tap Out Kitchen so he can say hi to you guys, because he is, like, doing the most. But he didn't bring the food, and that's sounding in my nose and stuff. And now I'm ready to eat. But hold on 1 second. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty right back here at Grindelwald. Thank you. Back once again, guys. Welcome to Grindology, where we study all things professional, guys. Today we are talking about profit with a purpose, but let's talk about this gentleman right here next to me, my better half, the one that God has assigned me to, Mr. Michael Herrington. He is over here, guys. Let me tell you something. This man is over here in his full garb. I'm not talking about half a garb. I'm talking about his full garb right now with his tap out dog. So guys, I got to give him like a second to shine. But he got this dog. He walked in here. Now he knows that I'm working. I'm in the process of engaging. And this dude, he comes in here with his dog, Bay. Bay. Right, that's what. Why is he doing that? Look at him, guys. This is a whole hot mess right here. I'm telling you, Tanya, do you got him on camera? He is a whole hot mess. Look, look at him.
Don't see me.
Say hello.
Hello, people.
Look at him. He got his full garb on, guys. But let me tell you, like, okay, this is the tap out dog. I got to show y'all this right here. It is everything but the kitchen sink on this bad boy. But I'm telling you, it is fire. You got to get him on Facebook, Tap Out Kitchen. Look at him. He's so ready. Say hello.
Hello.
Tell him about Tap Out Kitchen, baby.
Well, Tap Out Kitchen is a brand, my brand. I come to motivate. I came to inspire. I came to drop revelation. Whatever you're looking for, you can find a Tap Out Kitchen.
What are you talking? What is he looking for? Like, let me say.
Nobody knows your plans. You know you don't know that for real. So yeah, I'm on the camera.
We off the Richter scales. I'm telling you, we turned up today. It's Thursday. We turned up. But go ahead, babe.
Okay. Like I said, it's Tap Out Dog. It's my brand is Tap Out Kitchen. You know, I've always had a passion for cooking, always. But you know, sometimes we get caught up in everyday life, or either sitting our gift down and then trying to get back to it later. But what you realize, if God called you to come and do something,
you better preach it.
You might as well do it when he tell you to do it. Or you're going to find yourself just as tired and exhausted for banging your head up against the wall trying to get it started.
You better say it.
You know what I'm saying? It took me 41 years to decide that.
Ooh, God, that's a long time.
Okay, God, I give in. I'm going to cook, and I'm going to cook the way you tell me to.
What you say, Malia? Y'all are everything. I know the most. But
if the next three customers come on over to the station before we go off the air, I promise you a Tap Out Dog.
I'm telling y'all got to come in and eat this. I'm telling you. Look at Dr. Dana, how is it?
It's good.
100% beef. And it ain't just Tap Out Dogs. You know, I do
everything. This man, let me tell y'all something. This man makes everything from ramen to Chinese rice. to liver and rice. I mean, he makes everything. That's why I be having to fast and set myself up to eat his food. I eat once a day, because I know when I get to eating, This man, he is not going
to
stop.
And from the people down south, I learned how to cook cold if you're going to come.
What is a
rack cold? Rack cold. I'm going to let you eat back.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate it. Can I have mine, though? I mean, I can't have it now, but I'll be ready.
Oh, Tanya don't care. You can have it today.
Thank you, Tanya. Appreciate it. But, guys, I'm telling you, y'all have to, you know, holler at your boy. I'm telling you guys, right now is the time to start a business. Like, we see right now that it is a huge, enormous wave of energy that is directed towards African Americans starting businesses. We are shining right now. We are in a sweet spot right now. And I'm telling you guys, we have to go beyond just, you know, getting that $10,000 grant and buying cars and TVs, okay? If you're going to get it, start a business. If not, then it's going to come and bite you in the butt at the end. I'm just saying, you know, I have to be honest. But today, guys, we're going to talk about 5 ways to profit with a purpose. Make money and change the world with these particular expert tips. Guys, I'm telling you, the author basically says doing well is hard enough for most entrepreneurs. How on earth are they supposed to make their business a force for good as well? 5 members of the Oracles share how they make the world better by, you know, placing their business and making an impact to the world. Because I feel, guys, like really, I had to, as a consultant, I had to go into a place of understanding where we are shifting as professionals, as small business owners. Where's the world shifting? Where are we shifting in terms of nonprofits? Because here's the thing, guys, everyone wants to start a nonprofit, but really, it's like, it's all about the motives. It's all about the motives. I've seen some people start nonprofits, and I need people who like get like other experts, because I'm a consultant. But one thing I do is I learn from other people. But help me to understand, why is it for us as consultants, when we engage with individuals who are starting nonprofits, that we are the ones communicating to them that they can get grants immediately after they get a 501c3? I don't understand that, guys, not one bit. How, if we are consultants, if we are the ones that are really trying to assist the individuals who want to make an impact in the community, why do we do that? Why do we honestly sit and take a struggling nonprofit's money? Because they don't have money in the first place. Like, they're not doing any fundraising. They're not doing anything to really start. They just started. Where do we go into communicating with them and telling them that we can write you a grant? I just tell people honestly, and I'm being transparent. I don't even take your money if I know that you don't have the capacity to write a grant. But see, here's the thing, and this is for my nonprofit professionals. When we get into that mindset that, okay, we're going to go out here and we're going to apply for a grant. One, do you have a program in place? Do you have anything that you're currently operating right now? You cannot wait on the grant in order to hope to start a program. That's not just, it's just not how it's going to go. I'm just being honest with you. You can't do that. So you can try, but I'm going to tell you like this. It revolves a lot of creating. You got to make up stuff to be, you know, to, if you're a starting nonprofit organization, I mean, if you're a startup organization and you get to that point where you're trying to, you know, make money. Hi, Divya. Oh, my God. How's the kids? I mean, I just had to shout out to my girl, Divya. I'm sorry. I have not talked to her in a while. Hope everything is going good, girl. But how do you get to that point where you can start a nonprofit organization to make an impact. You don't start the program, but yet you go through these processes of trying to get a grant. And for me, guys, I'm saying you have to create a whole bunch of what it would look like if you got a grant, outside of actually saying, okay, I started this program. Out of this program, I have identified that, you know, I've impacted 52 people's lives. From there, 52 people's lives were able to get jobs. You know, like, you have to have something that you can measure, and you got to have a program that identifies where you are and where you're trying to go, first of all. If you don't have that as a startup, then you got to find somebody to create that for you. Then one of the things that people look for in grants is your financials.
Mm-hmm.
What are your financial projections? Where are you currently now in finances? How much money have you actually went out here and raised to impact your program? How many people have you went and engaged with and to get money? How many people have you networked with? How many businesses have you partnered with to make money? If the answer is zero, then guys, you have to reconsider that. But for us, most of the time, we think that's what our mindset is. 501c3 grant. You're gonna bump your head, and I'm gonna I'm 100% honest with everybody that I work with, and I'm sorry. Like, you know, people get so mad at me, guys, that they'll go to somebody else. Like, you know what? Forget it. We're gonna go to John John. Okay, give John John $600 and watch what he give you. He'll give you a grant. That's it. It's going to be a grant written on paper. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I know, like, if you have a strategic plan as a startup, that's just as good as a grant. When you think about it, it's just as good as that whole proposal aspect of it. Because once you have all the foundation laid out, then you can be able to say, okay, this is the type of program, this is what I'm projecting. But you got to have that information. You got to have content. A lot of nonprofits do not feel like they need content. You know, you got to tell your story. You got to tell your vision. You got to sell this thing. You know, you can't just go out. And even as me, as I look, you know, for, like, there's a lot of grants that are happening right now, guys. A lot of grants. I mean, they are, like, flowing, like, supporting nonprofits. There are a lot of grants out here. But guys, you have to have the information needed. I don't know. As a grant writer, I don't like wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long it takes to complete a thorough grant? That takes a lot of time. That's like a full-time job. That's why people charge as much as they charge by the hour to even create a grant. Or they charge by the percentage of that grant that they're writing for, because sometimes it takes so much time and energy.
All grants aren't for non-for-profit grants, right? Yeah,
right.
That you have business grants, small business.
Do.
Yeah, kind of,
yep.
Like the stuff.
The ones that's going on right now.
The ones that we can't get. But
right, the ones that ain't flowing to real businesses. But
get me started.
Pookie Enterprises can't get it because he got 10 employees.
Right,
quote unquote.
Right.
I'm gonna stop throwing shade.
Pookie selling cotton. He's selling cotton swabs, and he got cotton. He got a Q-tip business. A Q-tip business.
Rico selling Rent-A-Spoon.
Dude who be selling that water that he putting back in the Ice Mountain bottles on the corner, he done got a grant, and we can't get, let me stop.
I'm going to throw a pin at you. You are so stupid. I'm just saying, guys, I feel like for us as consultants, for us as professionals who are called to support nonprofits and small businesses, I feel like we should do what's necessary to help. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean drain your resources trying to help somebody else, because I've seen a lot of individuals who want you to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you have the skill set, but then they want you to walk this whole thing for them. And as consultants, all we're here to do is to help you and provide suggestions, analyze what's going on, and if we have that administrative services that we offer, give you the administrative aspect of it, charge you for that, and keep it moving. And if you need more, then keep going. But I've seen so many nonprofit organizations who are just starting to get taken advantage of, and they end up paying out goo-coos amount of money for a grant, and sometimes that bothers me.
Mm.
And I think that's probably why I'm venting right now.
You mean because of the fees that they end up paying for
somebody
to do it for them?
Yeah, because honestly, like right now where, you know, I have an org that, you know, remain nameless right now, but it was like I got a call and they were like, you know, can we, you know, I did their 501c3 for them. I did all the processes, the tax exempt and everything. And normally when I'm there, when I've done that part, I'm done. Unless you want me to go into that next level with helping you develop the program or helping you create your branding or do certain things like that. But after that, I'm just done. So then I get this call and it's like, Lissette, we need everything for the 501c3 paperwork that you sent, everything that you, because, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, first of all, when I'm done, I send you all that. You know, you have all that in the email. You have that all outlined perfectly. There's no problem with that. You can always refer back to the emails that I sent you to pull all your documents. But they were like, oh, well, we got this grant writer, and, you know, she's an excellent grant writer. I like when they say excellent. I'm sorry, guys.
It make it seem like.
She's a phenomenal grant writer. She's going to reach up and pull money from the sky. So I was like, oh,
reach up and get.
Yeah. So then they were like, so she's saying, you know, so then they start telling me what the person's saying. So they're like, she's saying that, you know, you don't have, you know, where's the bylaws? I said, I've sent the bylaws to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this, that, and other? I have sent all that to you. Well, she says that you should have a full 501c3 package. So that's why I had to understand. I'm like, if someone has done like 501c3s, they know that there are two types of 501c3s. There's the streamlined one that allows you to go over, you know, not under, not over $50,000 annually for the next 3 years. That gives you the 501c3, but it doesn't give you, you don't have to do all the extra. And your goal is when you're starting as a nonprofit is to get to that $50,000 mark. If you get to the $50,000 mark, then you can turn back and say, okay, RS, I did technically for the first year decided that I'm going to make $50,000, but you know, guess what? I made $250,000. Now what should I do with this? You pay your $850, get the extended, you know, 501c3 or get the full one or whatever, or pay the penalties or whatever, but they're not huge because you didn't expect to make over $50,000. And that saves you time. $275, done. $75 for the incorporation, done. And you have a legitimate nonprofit organization for like $350. And you didn't have to go through. Now there is an $850 501c3 process for people who plan on making over $50,000 or more in revenue for a nonprofit. Normal nonprofits that are just starting, unless you are a movie star, unless you are a basketball player and you have money that you're trying to create a nonprofit to, so I'm going to allocate $300,000 of the earnings of the $1 million of earnings that I have over to a nonprofit. Then you do the extended. But if you are Mama Joe and Uncle Larry on the corner starting up a little group home or something like that, and you just started, start with the small one. I'm just being real 100. Start with the small one. But instead, we get this. So long story short, what ends up happening, right, guys, is that at the end of the day, I'm saying this and I'm telling them, like, that doesn't sound right. I feel like anybody who does 501c3s know that there's two types. So that kind of drew a red flag for me. And then she had ended up telling the grant writer that, you know, well, when Lissette did this, she did this 100% online. Everything she did was online. Oh, that's impossible. No one can do everything 100% online. I'm sorry, guys, but I did.
She's excellent though.
She's excellent. She knew everything that was needed. I'm like, no. And when she told me that, she was like, well, the grant writer said that you can't you can't possibly do everything 100% online. The only thing that you probably can't do online is register as a charitable organization. You might have to complete that application and send it in, but you can incorporate online in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Online, you get your incorporation for a nonprofit 24 hours. You incorporate, pay the $75, and 24 hours you will get your incorporation. You are officially a nonprofit organization. After that, guys, you have the Streamline 501c3, $275, 100% online, and it does not take the 6 months to the year to complete. But, guys, before we go into what we were actually going into, because that kind of raised me, kind of bothered my spirit, we were going to actually take a break. But we're going to take a break. I'm going to pinch off this Polish. I'm going to pinch off the Polish. And we're going to be right back and talk about how to make profit with a purpose. Guys, there's a method to my madness, and I'm telling you, if you just follow the directions, we're going to be able to get there. But hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. Today, guys, like we were talking about how to profit with a purpose. I feel like for all the startups that we have and everyone who is even interested in starting a nonprofit or a small business should definitely focus on how to make a profit, but at the same time, do it with a purpose. Sometimes it's good, guys, overall, before I get into the first way to profit with a purpose, is to collaborate, guys. We have to learn how to collaborate and work with each other. I feel like when you're working together and you're all going to, you know, moving towards the same goal, it's good to start in a collective manner. Get a couple of nonprofits who want to start and, you know, start a collaboration. That doesn't outshine one nonprofit to the next, but that allows you to bring all your resources together, guys, to be able to execute and do an effective program and make an impact. And you guys can all build off of that one seed. I've seen that happen. If I have a nonprofit that's driven to feed people, and you have a nonprofit that's driven to clothe people, and you have a nonprofit that's driven to get people jobs, we can work together and make a program, you know. But the hardest part about that is people don't like collaborating. They don't like working together. They feel like they're going to start up a multi-million-dollar nonprofit by themselves. And I'm telling you guys, it takes a while. But the funny thing about it, going back to what we were talking about, right? Then I'm going to get back into this. But come to find out, right, the actual excellent grant writer does not have any credentials on LinkedIn. None.
You ain't even got no LinkedIn credentials?
You don't have no LinkedIn.
You ain't even got LinkedIn.
But here's
free
the thing.
LinkedIn. Free.
People, what people don't understand that when you, because like I got the person's resume, right? The person sent the resume and they also sent a list of projects, multi-million dollar property projects that they have worked on, right? This person on paper has been an executive director for 5 different nonprofits. And on top of that, and I'm sorry I'm putting this person out on their own blast, I'm sorry, but and has a master's degree and has worked on several projects, and you're not connected to LinkedIn. I can't Google you. You're off the grid. That's a little concerning for me. I don't know about anybody else, but when you're looking for, and this is for my nonprofits out here who are looking for grant writers, when you're looking for a grant writer, and see, I'm going to actually have to get my girl on, Fatima Harris. I'm going to have to get her on here because she is a legitimate grant writer who has written books. But when you are looking for people who say that they are professional, mm-hmm. I feel like from her resume, mm-hmm. the extensive experience that she's had and the multi-million dollar projects she's had will give her a stamp somewhere. I can pull up your name somewhere. I can Google you and everything that you have done that is renowned.
Google me. Oh.
I'm telling you, if you've been an executive director, and I'm sorry, guys, I have to say this, though, but if you have been an executive director for 5 separate nonprofit organizations,
mm-hmm.
you have a name.
Mm.
You have a portfolio.
Mm.
You have a digital footprint out there. Look, let me tell you something. I have wrote $1 million grant. One. Now, I wrote several under a million, but one really big one. Well, when you Google me.
Where I grant at? You need a grant then for about a.
One. And it's easy to write. Here's the thing, too, guys. I have to be real talk with you. It's easy to write a $1 million grant for an organization that's worth $100 million.
Mm.
It's nothing. I go and tell the people, like, this is a $100 million corporation. I need a $1 million grant. They're going to say, here. Because I know that if you don't do right by this, not ask for my money back, you will have it. But on top of that, it was a $100 million corporation who has almost 12 different programs in operation. So their capacity is huge. I can blink and get a grant. But I can't get someone who got two nickels to rub together $1 million grant. It just don't work like that. And I'm not going to sell that to you.
Okay, what about 8 nickels, though? What if I got like 9, 10 nickels?
You got to find somebody else with another 10 nickels.
Okay, what if I got 20 nickels?
If you got 20 nickels, you're going to have to find two more people with 5 nickels.
She just keep telling me no every time I add some nickels. I just
no. No. The answer is no, Scott.
All right. All right.
But I'm saying, guys, and the scariest thing about it is that, you know, I feel like that the actual nonprofit has a huge potential of growing, and they have a really awesome mission. And I think that that's the hardest part. Like, you know, you have someone that has a really great mission, but, you know, for the sake of them wanting to go out here and see if somebody's going to throw them some money, mm-hmm. they'll end up losing out on that mission. You mm-hmm. know, start with it. What are you doing right now? Impacting. If it's something that's desired to feed somebody, what are you doing to feed them individuals right now with the $50 you may got in your pocket? I respect nonprofits and organizations more when they're doing what they need to do out of their pockets, because that lets me know that their heart is in it to do what it is. You know, shout out to Focus Fairies out there who's making it happen. I'm like, we got some real orgs out here that are really happening. And there's another org. Oh, I got to bring them in. And I just met them actually through Pastor Angela. And it was a wonderful organization that we're going to have to talk about. But anywho, guys, while you're out here focusing on getting grants, make sure you got the right people. Make sure that they got some type of digital footprint out there. There can't be people out here doing multi-million dollar projects and property deals, and they're not, and you can't find them on Google. They got to be somewhere. They got to be connected with somebody. If they're doing $100 million projects with people, they're connected to somebody.
Ought to be.
And they better be on LinkedIn.
How you ain't on LinkedIn?
How you not on LinkedIn? That's like almost like the MySpace of careers.
People selling
about
Girl Scout cookies on LinkedIn.
Right.
How are you not on LinkedIn?
And I do my research. I'm a thorough investigator of people and their background. I'm a thorough investigator of people and their background. Yeah. Like, baby, I tell you, you can Google me.
Man, look here.
You're going to see what you're going to see.
Go ahead and get it.
You're going to see it all.
Google
me. I'm telling you. You can see it on the LinkedIn. I'm bona fide. That's all I'm just saying. I'm bona fide. Anywho, guys, let's talk about these 5 ways to profit with a purpose. Shout out to the content partners out here who've given us the real great content. Now, the first way to profit with a purpose is to start today no matter what. The best advice is start today, start right now. Many business owners think that corporate philanthropy is something that happens down the road. The reality is anyone can make their company a force for good, whether you're one person working out of your garage or a well-funded late-stage startup or an established brand. And it appears that the actual author is at Salesforce, but they said, Salesforce, we baked corporate philanthropy into our ideas. When we founded the company more than 18 years ago, we believed that all companies can make a big difference. And the only one thing you need is to desire to do it. If you're just getting started, do one thing and get very focused on it. Think about the core competencies of your business and start from there. And that's real talk, guys. I mean, if you're going to start right now. Don't wait. I'm not saying don't wait until everything is perfect, because there's never going to be a perfect time to launch or perfect time to start a business. But if you are a startup, the best thing to do in your startup is to find a way that in the startup process to make profit, but then to identify what purpose or impact you want to do and merge those two things together. I feel like if you're a startup, you're in a sweet spot. If you're an established brand, you're in a sweet spot, because that means you have money already generated, revenue that you're already generating that you can actually pull over into creating a nonprofit or a social impact endeavor. So, I mean, I feel like that is a really, really smart. So it really doesn't matter at what stage you are in your startup, but make sure, guys, that you are focused and that you start today no matter what. Guys, I've seen some babies out here. Do you hear me? I've seen a baby, and I got to call her mom because I want to interview her on so bad. A small baby, 8 years old, guys, who is making masks. She created a design, her own design, and she made a mask. And now she's selling these masks, and she's giving them away, but she's supporting people. And then guess what? This baby is on the news. She's been on several different news stations. She's been, like, recognized all over the place just because she had the heart to start where she was. She started then. That's what's important, guys. Start today. Start now. Start with what you got. You know, don't worry about, you know, having the right time or the right opportunity or enough money or, you know, all the tools and resources that you could use to make it run effectively. When you take that walk, take it now. And that's one of the things, just like my husband just said today when he was saying it, that, you know, if you're called to do something and you're called to do it and God is telling you, man, and he's poking at you, get it started, get it started, get it started. Don't wait. He's trying to push you out there to get it started and everything else starts to come. All you have to do is just take that walk. You got it's action coming behind it. But it says if you're a small organization and just getting started, adopting a local public school is a great place to start. You know, our CEO, the CEO, Mark Benoff, believes that everyone can adopt their local K-12 school and ask the principals, teachers, and kids how they can help. Being a force for good isn't only about money. Volunteering at a school is a great way to have a big impact on your community. And that makes, I mean, guys, if you want to engage, you know there's a need out here. You know that there's a need. You know that you can go to a school, and even if you buy one kid or if you donate one iPad or you donate one laptop or you know, donate one thing, you still have started the process. And I think that that's so important, not to worry about how, like, doing all the extra, you know, I'm going to start, I want to give. But let me brand the whole thing. Let me announce it. Let me get a logo for it. Let me do it. You didn't spend all this money and time getting ready to give, and you have the ability to just give or just volunteer right where you are to get that engagement. You don't know what the next step is going to, you know, what's going to come out of that, taking that step. You don't know how many people you're going to network with. You don't know how many connections you're going to get involved in just by taking that one step. And you got to serve. You have to serve. So start today. Start right now. Anyone can make their company a force for good. It's easy. Just do the right thing. That's all you got to do. Just do the right thing. Also, think about ways to reduce your environmental footprint. It can be as basic as ensuring that there's enough recycling bins in your office or switching over to a software as a service platform that will reduce the on-site energy consumption. Another easy thing to do is reconsider your hiring practices. How much consideration are you giving to diversity when it comes to hiring or gender equality when it comes to salaries? What about hiring your veterans? You know, there's so many different ways that as an individual and as a small business, as a nonprofit, or anyone who wants to make a social impact, there's just so simple ways. Making sure that your culture adds up with your company. If you're doing something, make sure that that social impact is one of your beliefs, one of your values that is really embedded into your organization. And I'm saying this, guys, I'm talking about small businesses as well. What do you value? I don't care if you're a producer like Keon Gardner, or if you're a rapper or whatever. Whatever you're called to be in whatever business or entity that you have, it is important that you identify what do you value. You know, if you had all the money that you're looking to receive as a small business, if you had everything that you needed to receive as a small business, what would you do with it? You know, think about that and allow that part to identify really where your value is. Because if it's just in making money and giving people money, then you're going to be chasing a dollar. That's just it. You're going to be chasing a dollar. But if it's really about making an impact, you're going to get embedded into a social enterprise mindset. That means I'm going to make money, but I'm going to impact people. So that's, I don't care if it's for my husband. I don't care if you see an individual on the street and a homeless man on the street and you give him a sandwich. You have done your part. You've sowed a seed. All about sowing them seeds, guys. All about sowing them seeds. There are many ways to give back. It's incredibly important to assign an owner to each one of these efforts, someone who will be responsible for it. Maybe you only commit to one project a year, but give that project a name and an owner and go all in. You know, like sometimes you feel like you are, when you start off, you are all by yourself with yourself. So maybe it is like I tell Mike, like I'm only doing pro bono nonprofit work once a quarter. Once a quarter, I engage in doing something for a nonprofit without worrying about them paying me. And then I'll do that. And, you know, I engage it's 20 hours. I engage 20 hours towards, you know, assisting a nonprofit a quarter. And then, man, at the end of the year, I got 80 hours I have, you know, donated. If I can equate that to a salary, that's a lot. That's one paycheck. Mm-hmm. That's one paycheck. But it's worth it at the end of the day to see an organization grow and become better. The second way to make profit with a purpose is to do right by your community, even if they don't buy from you. That's a good one, guys. Do right by your community, even if they don't buy from you. Running a real estate coaching business and the reputation of real estate industry is only a step above used car sales. In today's era of automation and technological advances. I'll be trying to say this stuff right, because what happens is that Dr. Data start calling me out on it. Like, what is you saying? What is a ute? Zoomers simply won't accept the broken real estate experience all the time. I have to be sitting here. Use your vowels. I'm all about providing educational education and tools to real estate agents who may or may not ever become a client. We provide free content to the real estate community as a whole, how-to videos, blogs, you know, episodes on YouTube. It's all in the name of creating a new, stronger generation of real estate experts. So I'm also fortunate to have built an audience where everyone can support important causes. After my wife's battle with breast cancer last year, we donated proceeds from their new book, and they raised $200,000 for the cause. So when it comes to doing it, guys, you support your community not so that they can buy from you, but because you want to be a pinnacle in that particular community and make an impact. So before you even start getting the support of a business, people got to see you. It's almost like politicians. Like, you don't start seeing politicians out carousing in the community until it's time to vote. That's when everybody's flocking. That's why when everybody start putting signs in your front lawn and you see 9,000 signs, and now everybody wants to come, and now they want you to support them. After that, they done died down. You don't see them again until it's election time. And that's the hardest part. Why should I vote for you if the only time I see you is when you need something? Mm-hmm. And that's how we should think about it as business owners. You know, why would I support you when you're coming out here and you're saying, oh, I'm supporting the community, but by the way, buy my stuff. No, that's not how it technically goes. You go out and you start giving first and then you'll get. And then they're like, oh, okay, you know, I remember this dude. He was out here, he was selling this. I mean, he was out here and he was, you know, cleaning up the yard. So he was out here and he was painting the murals, or he was, you know, teaching the kids, you know, this. And, you know, oh, he got a business. Oh, okay, let me support this young man. Let me support this individual. You have to put your footprint in. You got to put your foot in it first. And then everything starts to go from there. You just have to do what I say. If you do right by people, they'll do right by you, right? Go out there, serve your community, volunteer, get engaged, let people see your face before you talk about, can I get your vote? I've been out here 2 days out here doing things. Can I get your vote? And I'm telling you guys, I don't know what, real talk, I don't know what we're going to do right now with what we're
keep hope
faced
alive.
With.
Keep hope alive.
I swear. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. God bless this election. Lord have mercy. Third thing, guys, the third way of making profit with a purpose is realize that doing good is integral to company culture. Say it again, realize that doing good is integral to company culture. Social entrepreneurship is based on doing good. That's just it. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all social entrepreneurship is based about, around, and founded on doing good. But it's tough to continuously run any charitable effort without some profit. For startups focused on building initial revenue, doing good may seem like a low priority. How can doing good be a low priority? Like, I ain't trying to do good. I'm trying to hustle, make this money. And I understand. You know, you're trying to make money, which is the purpose of a for-profit or a small business. So you're trying to make money. But when I advised founders, I encouraged them to take a different perspective. Doing good is an integral part of building a sustainable company culture. That's really the truth. I had to stop right there. Doing good is an integral part of building a sustainable company culture. So many times we can go into our communities and we can sell our stuff and everything. But if you don't have any, if it's not already embedded into your business to do it for a good reason or a good purpose, then it's hard for businesses to sustain. Let me tell you something, and this is really amazing, and this is one of the reasons why I love the place that I'm employed with. The CEO has a nonprofit organization connected with his for-profit. So he's a multi-million dollar, software startup, and he has this, you know, nonprofit entity. In this nonprofit entity, he has built a hospital in India. Mm-hmm. He has given, you know, millions to nonprofit organizations all across the state of Illinois, Germany, India, Spain, Colombia, all over he has given money. And here's the thing. I don't know what his religion is. I don't know, you know, where he, but what I do know is that this man has done so much in the communities and to give back that he is one of the only businesses that I have seen that has sustained this COVID pandemic without a scratch. And that is kind of like weird for me as I'm sitting in the midst of it and I'm seeing it. And we just had our town hall meeting and he was talking about, you know, it's the only man that I know, only organization I know that is still making money right now, still getting, you know, services. And I feel like it has a lot to do with his giving. You know, I feel like, you know, when you give and you give with that type of like heartfelt giving that you are sustained. Now, people think about it. I don't care what anybody thinks, but I feel like the sustainability is all God. That's all I'm saying. You give right. You give with a cheerful heart, and you give with the mentality to serve as you're making profit. And you're like, in other words, you're thanking God, like, you know, it could have been worse. This man has not laid off one person, you know, and has not missed a beat, you know. Not to say that he's not operating lean. I feel like any smart, you know, CEO at this particular time will operate in the lean. So he's looking at places where he can shave for waste and abuse and, you know, and overspending and stuff. But for someone to still be sustaining right now in the middle, I don't know what we're going to do in the third and fourth quarter. I'm just sitting back taking a look at the third and fourth quarter because those are the real impacts. But we've seen so many businesses closing. We've seen so many people are being laid off right now. And you look at this one person and you see all the good that he's doing and you're like, oh, you know, God is sustaining this thing right here, you know, because your heart got to be in the right place. So that's why doing good is an integral part of building a sustainable company culture. It drives people. It keeps them happy and healthy. And if you can build a team that sticks together around these values, you can overcome all your mistakes and hurdles on your startup journey. Start up giving. Start up with the mentality, with the mentality of doing good. I mean, that's it. Focus on it. Do good. What did he say? You know, I have to get in the scripture. Now, he never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Ain't that the word? Ain't that the word?
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
That's facts. That's whole facts. But all it says.
All of them.
every word is.
All of them.
Is the truth. And I'm telling you, when you say righteous, that means just doing what's good. Doing good. Doing what's right. And you ain't gonna never have to be forsaken or begging or doing anything like that. I'm telling you, that's real. That's real raw. Real talk right there. The fourth way, guys, to profit with a purpose is to understand that giving back is profitable. Understand that giving back is profitable. So, guys, like, a lot of times we feel like, you know, if we're giving, we're losing. If we're giving back, we're losing out. We're losing money. You know, we're losing time, we're losing energy. And if you have that mindset, if you go in with that type of mindset, you're going to find yourself in an even worse state when it comes to this. Because giving gives more to it than just, it's more to it than just what you lost. It's what you gained by impacting who you're called to impact. So they said, we found that charitable contributions increased happiness more than pay raises. So when you're actually giving, yeah, you can, you know, people love money. I mean, I like an increase and a raise, you know, I ain't going to knock that. But they said that, you know, they found that charitable contributions increase happiness more than pay raises. This drove them to look more into their culture and teach about the overall happiness. In their program, they teach their employees to live their dreams, even if it means helping them quit. So it's like, man, we want you to get on even if it ain't with us. Mm-hmm. We want you to be the best you can be even if you got to leave us or even if we got to fire you. We still want best for you, and we want you to be happy because investing in your culture and your people to teach them about happiness and living their dream life really makes a difference. I want people who work for me to be happy when they work for me. I want them to feel like when they are in my organization that they are making a difference, that they are making an impact, and that they're doing what they called to do, and they're not just doing it for a check. When you have people on your team or on your staff that's just doing it to get paid, there's no quality in that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no quality in that. They like, look, I came in here to work. I'm going to do this at the most mediocre level that I can possibly do it so that you can pay me and not fire me. But when people feel like they, where they work and where they operate is really making an impact in their lives, it's bringing them closer to their dreams. It's bringing them to the state where they can even move on and move to next levels. And you encourage that. You encourage that within your organization. I mean, that speaks numbers, guys. That speaks numbers. So you have to understand that giving back is profitable. You have to give back. The fifth way, and our last way, guys, to profit with a purpose is focus first on your own company. Focus first on your own company. The author says you cannot give what you don't have. Those who cannot give need a vehicle to provide them the resources to do so. For business owners, businesses can be a force for good if they truly want to help people. Let's say this again, guys. You cannot give what you do not have. Those who cannot give need a vehicle to provide them the resources to do so. For business owners, businesses can be a force for good if they truly want to help people. The main reason that the author actually started Fairchild was because they had experienced firsthand the life of poverty and the burden. I wanted to help as many people as possible escape the shackles of financial insecurity. Like, that's one of the things, like, I read to today. There was an individual who he's a black man who has, he's like a financial guru under Dave Ramsey, and I forgot the man's name, but he wrote this book. He's wrote maybe I think two books, but he wrote one book of how to get a college degree, how to go to school without you know, debt free, how to do it without accumulating a lot of debt. But at the end of it, he basically said that his struggles was he lived in poverty. He was homeless. He was broke. And he was like $20,000 in debt, you know, like already at the age of 18 with a credit card and, you know, and everything that, you know, they want to sell to you as a teenager when you're young. Like, you get into that part where, you know, you have already, you know, at the age of 18, they already giving you a credit card. You ain't even got a job and you got a $1,000 credit card. But it says, to me, culture in my business is the most important ingredient there is. If someone does not fit our culture, I will not employ them. No matter how technically skilled or gifted they are, we must all be working for the same purpose. When your staff's purpose is aligned with your company's purpose, they are automatically inspired to make a difference. When staff love what they do and do what they love, this translates into a force of good. For us as small businesses and for nonprofit organizations, we have to look past the dollar, and we got to have a balance between making an impact in the lives of the people we're called to serve, as well as making money to sustain. It's supposed to go. Right now, we're in the process of going hand in hand. You can't go and be this full, you know, fledged profit-driven individual. It's good to be profit-driven, but if that's all you're basing your company off of, then that kind of creates a hard engagement. You know, here's the thing, and this is one of the things that led me to say that. Like, when we look at individuals, and I might get cut off talking about this, though. We look at individuals like Donald Trump. When I say that word, you know, that's the cutoff.
Right.
It's all over. One of the things that people can respect about him was he was a businessman, right? And he's solely driven about, you know, making money and, you know, and economics and, you know, all the things that drive Donald Trump. But one of the things that we see as it relates to that is his tone of compassion. I want to say tone of compassion because I don't know the man to say that he's not compassionate on the inside, but what's on the inside comes on the outside, right? So I feel like for him to, you know, say certain things that, you know, like I said, what you see is what you get with the man. I'm not mad at that. But it's one of those things where when someone says, you know, people are dying, it is what it is, you know. Like, I understand
I
that that's the truth of the matter, that people are dying, and there's not really a lot that we can do about that aspect. But when you say it is what it is,
it sounds uncaring.
It sounds uncaring. Yeah. And yeah. I don't care how professional you are or how, you know, focused you are and as a professional, there are a certain... It should be certain layers of empathy that you should have as a professional that caters to, you know, the impact of it, you know, like of what's going on. And then at the under the same breath or under the same viewpoint, I see someone like marching a corpse down the hospital, and people are crying because one of our frontline workers passed as it relates to COVID, and they're taking this, what they call this hero's walk,
mm-hmm.
because, and they're standing there like they're soldiers because they are on the front lines, and they're marching by, and people are wailing and crying that that person lost their lives from being in the front line. Mm-hmm. You have to show a level of respect when it comes to the things that you want to do as a business, whatever goal you have, and this is how I'm going to close out, but whatever goal you have, guys, you have to focus on what goes on in your heart, because out of that springs bitterness, you know, out of that springs a whole lot of other things that will put you in a place that your character can't keep you.
Mm.
You know, you will be the greatest at what you're called to do, but because you have the worst response or the worst communication, or you can't control your tongue, or you can't show empathy, or you can't, you know, for the sake of people who's losing their lives, do what's good, or just speak in a manner that, and I get it, guys. Like, you know, as Americans, we didn't got soft on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Everything affects us. We're offended by everything, and we definitely offended by everything that comes out of Trump's mouth. But it's like, at the end of the day, we still have to know how to, we still have to work on being tough and resilient and not always hold people accountable for what they say, because something is going on in people's hearts that they can just come out and just blurt out hate. And I was telling Mike that as we were driving in, I'm like, it's terrible when people are spewing as much hate as they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the bad part about it is it's not like it's any different. It's just that we're seeing it more, mm-hmm. because people are quick to tape it or result it, or, I mean, you know, reveal it. And now we can blink, and now everything we have the media, which was the news, because the news used to be the only form of media. Then the newspaper used to be the only form of media.
When it was legit, it was just the newspaper and news radio.
And news. And
right.
it was and that's what we relied on.
We didn't have news shows.
No.
We just had news.
Yeah.
Right. We had the 5 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news. We didn't have the 4 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, the 8 o'clock.
3 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
That repeats.
Right.
The same
right.
thing.
There were no news
in
shows.
Rotation.
Right. There was no CNN. No MSNBC, no Fox News. That
people
just,
have to sit and talk all day about the news.
24-hour news cycle.
The
right.
News.
We didn't have that. We got our news. We went to sleep. And in the morning,
right.
we got new news.
Right. That's
right.
That was it. Because that wasn't worth talking about the old news from yesterday.
Right. Unless it was something major. It was not.
That,
they didn't talk.
Transitioned
right.
transitioned over. But it's, yeah. a, it's a continuous rotation of what we see. And now the old individuals.
You.
All individual people have become the news. So now we're taping things constantly. You know, a person can't, you know, flick a booger without, you know, somebody taping it and say, you know what, somebody did this. I mean, it's just the worst of it. It's the worst, the craziest stuff. And we have to learn to wean ourselves from this.
Yes.
And it's for our health, guys. It's for our health. We want to stay, you know what, and I say this really, really transparently, no matter what's going on in the world, I want to remain consistent. I want my heart to remain consistent. I want my thought processes to remain consistent. I want to be focused and driven and guided by the source that drives me on a day-to-day. And if the news or people who's taping on social media and all that stuff is the source, then I need to turn off. Because if not, we're going to find ourselves starting these businesses and with no empathy, we cussing and stuff. That was funny. That's a good one. When we talk about Ellen. Now, I don't know about anybody else, though, guys, but I love Ellen. I love Ellen.
She does some cool stuff.
My last 4 minutes, because I'm going to cut off at 8:30. But I love Ellen. I mean, and just even within her own, you know, tribe, her own team, like people faced racism and all this aggression and whatever professional bullying and everything else that they had to encounter. And it's so funny that, you know, I mean, if you ain't never fired anyone, you know, you get those disgruntled people that want to now expose you and everything about you on because now they mad because they messed up somewhere and now they want to pull stuff out. People are salty. That's what happens when people get fired, people get salty, and then it just turns into this whole fiasco. And that's what I feel like that's, you know, basically going on with Ellen. When you think about, when you first look at her and her culture, you're like, she does good. I've seen her bring a lot of people on the show and give back and engage and, you know, and she's cool and, you know, and she does a little, you know, dance here, a little two-step every now and then that I feel like makes her cool. But then when you start getting into the deeper root, if you start looking at the people that you hire, you have to. And that's why it says focus on your company first and making sure that you hire the right people. Hire the people that truly want to help people. Because you got some people now that customer service, I'm telling you, it's crap. But nevertheless, we can talk about that in a whole nother show. But guys, it's been great. I'm telling you guys, five ways to profit with a purpose. You have to, guys. You have to start today no matter what. You have to, guys. Do right by your company, even your community, even if they don't buy from you, even if they don't, you know, support you, support your community. Realize that good is an integral part of your company's culture. You have to want to do good. You have to start to do good. And then understand that giving back is profitable. You might not make money from giving it back, but it's profitable. And next, focus first on your own company. Focus on your company and what you can do inside your company before you go outside the company. Well, guys, this has been awesome. This is Grindology. I love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting our show and our TTLO family. Guys, if you need anything, if you have any questions, if you have any insight that you need, just, you know, hit your girl up, inbox on Grindology, or, you know, inbox TTLO Media. We do things big every week.
You what you
want to
be, you know that you better grind.
Next week, guys, we have a treat. Actually, next week is my birthday. I'm going to be turned up.
Might not be here.
I don't know. I'm
going to
let the hair talk.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to have to get them good. Go after them for a sponsorship.
I'm going to let the hair talk. I'm just saying. But, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for supporting Grindology. I do not take that for granted. And, guys, until next time, I'll see you on Thursday. But we got a lot of people coming on. I got guests. Hey. But anywho, bye guys. Love you.